Well, hello, everyone. We're back again with Chris Morgan, and we're talking about his book, Playing Chase with God, that is really about prayer. And there's more to prayer than just robotically reciting some familiar words. Chris, welcome back. And
thank you, Joe.
And we've had several programs so far. But the title of this one is Hike the Distance. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so the name of the book is Playing Chase with God, and it's built around the metaphor of playing chase, which is sort of this nod or looking backwards into when my kids were young and I would come home. The prize portion of the day was when I would walk in the door from work and they would be like, "Daddy's home," you know, and we would begin to play any number of versions of the game that I'm just choosing to call play chase.
It
involves me chasing them chasing me. But at the end of the day, I wasn't hiding from them. I was hiding for them, and I was bursting at the seams to be found by them. And this is what I find to be true with God, that through prayer, when God is chased, he allows himself to get caught, because it was his intention from the get-go to be caught.
Amen.
And he's delighting to draw me into the chase that would ultimately result in me not only finding him, but then building something with him. And we've been on that journey. Like, we've been on the journey of understanding that our personal prayer movements aren't meant for just prayer. Like, prayer's not about prayer. Prayer is about establishing something with God, building history with God, knowing his presence, learning to hear his voice, like being coached by him as we move through the courses of life.
Right.
So we've built, you know, we've been through all these different journeys and aspects of what that means, but now we're at this place where it's a chapter that we called Hike the Distance.
Right.
And here's what we know. In any strong and important relationship, they're built for the distance. That's the reason you said yes to them to start with. You said yes to something that you desired to be long term. This could be a lifelong friend.
Amen.
This could be, of course, this is marriage. This is primarily seen in the marriage commitment, the marriage stepping into that relationship to build something together. Well, you do it to hike the distance.
Correct.
With
the expectation of hiking the distance, the expectation of a personal relationship for life.
That's right. That's right. But here's what we know. Relationships break down.
Sure.
And prayer will, at some point, break down. And that's really what this part of our conversation wants to turn toward, is why do they break down? And when they do, because this is not a matter of if they do.
Correct.
You will hit a season when it feels like
a chore.
Prayer just got broken.
I
how do I take it to the mechanic shop? Because it feels like it's not working anymore. That's going to happen. So will that happen in marriage. So will that happen in friendship. So will that happen working a long time in a company.
At
some point in business, you'll come out of alignment temporarily.
Correct.
With your employer or whatever. So, like, prayer is not exempt from these seasons.
Correct.
Prayer will become broken. And some of the reasons that prayer gets broken, here's a big one, distraction.
Sure.
Like, we're all busy. And we've, based on everything we've said up to this point, relationship building, and particularly that in prayer, requires intentionality, focused attention, and doing things.
Commitment. Exactly.
And distraction is built into our culture. Mm-hmm. And it's there to just get me off my game and to get me, like, to start taking for granted the thing that I need to be taken intentionally.
Correct.
So I think distraction is a major component to breakdown. And then there's disappointment. We are a race of disappointed people.
Sure.
You know, and disappointment has a way of, we turn that disappointment into disbelief. Honestly, there's another one. That disbelief is another big one.
Right.
These all are contributors You know, and in disappointment, maybe it was somebody who disappointed you. Like maybe there was a spiritual leader. I mean, we see that all the time. Like pastors fall. Pastors stumble and fall and do and make bad decisions, or pastor, maybe somebody, a spiritual and spiritually important person in my life did something to hurt me or disappoint me. And all of that can eat away at the foundation of my pursuit of God. Because why? Because I'm just disappointed.
Exactly.
And I never really dealt with it. It just lives there. And then there's disbelief. Like over time, man, I used to have this capacity for believing, and where did it go? I don't know. And then there's disillusionment, which is just the long journey of the blows that life can deliver, right?
Sure.
And when you become the disillusioned, then it can shut down the forward momentum trajectory of this relationship that you have already decided is supposed to be built for the long haul.
Because it robbed your enthusiasm. And if you're not enthused, you're not going to work on that, whatever it is.
So if you remember back when we were talking about in chapter 3, we talked about protecting momentum, and we said that protecting momentum, part of how that happens is every relationship has momentum directly correlated to the experiences of that relationship. So when you're experiencing God, you're experiencing momentum and forward momentum with God.
Right.
That's what we want.
Right.
But here's what this chapter is really saying. Like this thing of embracing the distance, it's embracing the reality that every relationship is going to have a season when the experiences slow down, if not shut down. And there, again, we've talked about some of the things that cause that.
Right.
But if you just know that it's coming, then you can apply the appropriate response, because we're like a hiker. Like you're a hiker that is, you know, you're doing the Appalachian Trail, like from Georgia to New York or wherever that is way up there. Well, are you at some point going to have blisters and want to stop?
Well,
and not be having fun anymore. Yeah, of course. And what do? You start out with the mentality when you start in Georgia, knowing that's going to happen to you.
But that you're going to the end.
But you're going to the end. And that's the distance mentality. So what is that? Well, in the book, I called it spiritual grit. It's like there are seasons of life when this happens to you, when prayer feels broken.
Correct.
You just pull up your hiking boots. Your worship hiking boots.
There you go.
And you pull them all the way up to the knees and you tie them really tight because you're not stopping. We're going to apply spiritual grit because I'm having the pushback that's coming from disillusionment, from disbelief, and from disappointment, and all these other things that are pushing back on me. But what am I doing? I'm spiritual gritting my next step.
Right.
My next step. Now, there are other things you can do as well. Like part of what is spiritual grit made out of? That's a good question. Like how is it done? Well, number one, it's the mentality we just talked about.
Sure.
Like you adopt from the beginning that if I stop feeling this, I'm not stopping.
Right.
I'm going to keep walking.
I'm going to expect it to happen.
I'm going to expect it to happen.
As a matter of fact.
It's almost a certainty. But what do I do to try to escape it? Well, this is what I would do. Like number one, it's surprisingly true that how easily I can drift from making prayer personal with God. Like, like I have to intentionally make it personal with God. Like this is me, you know, it's kind of like you heard it in the movies where it said, I think it was The Godfather where the guy said, it's not personal.
Yeah.
It's just business. And like that's what they say when they're actually going to hurt somebody.
Exactly.
And they're like, this is just business. Well, actually, spirituality is exactly the opposite of that.
Right.
It's never business. It's always personal.
Amen.
And so in seasons when prayer feels broken, a lot of times I've stopped making it personal. I've stopped realizing that it's just me coming to God again to make it personal with Him.
Yes.
I've also forgotten that prayer and intimacy with God is a daily altar of surrender. I've forgotten that I can't quit surrendering personally. Like this is like a maneuver. It's like a spiritual, actual maneuver. Like that I'm surrendering on purpose, and I can never take it for granted.
Correct.
And a lot of these seasons, I have to embrace the mentality of slow and steady. Like these seasons are the tortoise, not the hare. You know,
correct.
Like you're just spiritual grit again today. I'm not giving up. I'm taking another step. I'm continuing to move forward. And then there are things I can add to my life that help me also find my way out. Like we've talked a lot, or at least some in some of our conversations, about different tools that I use to construct in interacting with God.
Certainly.
Well, here's the thing. You do the same thing in friendship and marriage that I'm saying here, is when something stops really working very well, stop doing that and do something else.
Amen.
Innovate.
Exactly.
It's like how many times, like, you and your wife maybe went to the same restaurant, and then you woke up one day and realized, you know, we're sitting around looking at our phone, sitting at the table. Let's stop coming here.
Correct.
And let's do something different. Let's innovate the ideas around our interaction.
And why is that? Because at the end of the day, we have to remember that God didn't change. We changed. That's what usually happens in an earthly relationship. It wasn't that, I mean, it can be that your mate changed in some way, but more than likely, you changed your approach that is the root problem.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with prayer.
Yeah.
And these seasons when the enthusiasm is not what it was.
Right.
It's not God's fault. It's our fault.
Yeah.
Because we have changed. We're not doing what we were doing before when everything was working.
Right. And by doing what we were doing before, we don't necessarily mean methods. We mean the fabric of the heart that we were bringing.
The fabric of the heart, the commitment of the heart, the enthusiasm of the heart, the wish to have that feeling of God by your side.
And this, we say all that not for condemnation.
No,
we
say
that for realization. Like
it's self examination that's all we're saying.
It's just like the hiker who knows he's going to have blisters and his feet are going to hurt and he's going to get tired and he's going to get hungry and he's going to want to quit. Like, you know, it's going to happen.
Yes.
So you just adopt from the beginning, when that happens, I'm not going to forget to make it personal. I'm not going to forget that it's built on my surrender over and over and over. And I'm not going to forget to try something different, to innovate the connection between how I'm pursuing God, to see if it won't dislodge my heart from its thorny, stony, hiding behind the thorny bush called self and selfishness, and come back out into the open where I'm being authentic with God. And as soon as that happens, it will all begin to click back in place.
Amen.
And lastly, I'll say this, like, one of the pieces that you should put in place specifically helpful for these seasons of persevering is spiritual community.
Yes, sir.
Like, who are your people? Because you're going to need them. Like, when prayer stops working, you have somebody who you can get on the phone who knows the voice of God, who knows what it's to be like in a pursuit relationship with God.
Right.
And you can call them, you can call him or her and say, prayer just feels broken right now. And when you say that, they can then begin to just encourage and speak truth and speak direction.
Right.
That's why church matters. That's why staying engaged in spiritual community matters. It's part of the ecosystem of God, of how do we make it all the way to the end. Because, by the way, this book is broken up into three sections. The first section is start.
Right.
The middle section is stay. We just now are entering into the third section of the book, which is what? See it through.
Amen.
How many, and this is what got me when I was writing this section, how many people in the scriptures, in the stories of God, didn't make it to the end? They didn't finish well.
Exactly.
It is, listen, that's a scary, when you look at that one, you're going to find that a lot of people did not make it with their spiritual self intact to the end of the hike.
That's true. And, you know, that is sobering on one hand and comforting on the other hand, because the people who were in the Bible were just like me and you. In fact, one pastor told me one time, said, I got to tell you, with the exception of Christ, if you made the Bible, it may not have been a good thing.
Your story may not have been a good one.
You made the Bible. But there's a lot of people that made the Bible that we just don't know how it ended. So it is up to us to be committed to the end.
Well, yeah, and which brings me to a really great place to end. One of the core skills for a lifelong history-building connection with God is the skill of knowing how to begin again.
Amen.
Because again, directly applicable to marriage and friendship and a lot of different things, but you got to learn to begin again, because you will at some point and in some season have a busted relational flat tire with God. And when that happens, you got to know how to bust out the spare, get it on the spiritual car, and get back moving again.
Get moving again.
So what does that mean? Begin again. It's a simple, literally, like you, and you may have all the messages of shame. I'm not worthy. I let God down, this, that, and the other. Stop it.
Correct.
Begin again.
Amen.
And I love this quote. I think I put it in here at the end of the book, but this is, again, my friend, Pastor Kevin Myers. He said this. He said, "You don't possess endurance. You practice it."
Amen.
Gosh, that's so
good. Very
good. You don't possess it.
No, sir.
You practice it, which means what? Begin again.
Amen. Excellent. Chris, we've enjoyed it. Another great session. Thank you very much. And, you know, there's more to it than having a repetitious prayer life. Buddy, thank you so much. And one more time, where do we get the book?
It's on Amazon, amazon.com. Just look up Playing Chase with God, Chris Morgan, and you'll find it. And if you really care about building history with God and moving forward through the unscripted rhythms of prayer, that's what this book is about, and it'll help you.
Excellent. Thank you very much. So, Chris, thanks for being with us. And next week, we will hit another chapter. Thank you very much for being with us.
You
betcha, buddy.